Hello, and welcome to the Eve Reader Podcast. My name is Zendane, and this is episode 50, Old Man Star. The system of Old Man Star, well known within New Eden as a place to find pirates, gate camps, and fights, originally had a much different name. Today's chronicle is a story of how this system came by its unusual name. Those traveling within the Galente Federation, from the Bacchanuit Circle to the Patry Perimeter, can make a shortcut midway through by traversing Operia, a cold and uninhabited white dwarf system. Few now remember the name Operia. Most people only know it by what it is commonly called, Old Man Star. Interstellar jump drive technology is fairly new. Until it came along, the only way for the Empires to expand their territory was to send a ship to a solar system to build a Stargate. The fastest versions of these construction ships managed a speed of about 30% of the speed of light. At this speed, a system 10 light years away could be reached in 33 years. The crew of the construction ships were put into cryogenic stasis for the duration of the trip, only to be revived once the destination was neared. Later, after jump drive technology became available, several of these ships were retrofitted with jump drives. This meant that decades-long trips were a thing of the past. However, none of these older models had been built to handle the sort of technology found in these jump drives, and this meant that stories of fateful malfunction circulated frequently. One such story was that of Old Man Dario's construction ship. In YC-11, when the Galente-Caldari War was near its end, a Galentian construction ship set out for the desolate system then known as Operia. There was little monetary gain to be had from the system's middling asteroid fields, but a stargate there would serve as a link between the Bacchanuit Circle and the Patry Perimeter, which made it a good long-term trade prospect. The construction ship departed from the Valor system, some 12 light-years distant. Estimated travel time was only a few minutes. The crew consisted of 5 people, a huge reduction from the old days when dozens of crewmen were needed. With the technological advances made over the course of the war, swarms of drones and robots were by that point responsible for most of the actual construction, with the crew acting mostly as operators and technicians. Shortly after the construction ship set out, disaster befell it. A miscalculation in the drive made the jump misfire, sending the ship several light years off course and planting it in the middle of an asteroid belt. Seconds later, a large asteroid hit the ship full force. The impact killed 4 of the ship's crew, but the 5th survived. His name was Seal Dario, and he was the ship's drone operator. Back home, the Galente authorities, still embroiled in the war, were facing great internal debate as they pondered Concord-mediated peace talks with the Caldari. Finding little incentive to lose another multi-million ISK ship on a system with no greater short-term value than Operia, they opted to shelve the project. Since the vessel's calculation error was evident to the station personnel who'd sent the ship off, and because the ship's subspace beacon and comms array had been damaged in the impact, the ship was believed destroyed and written off. Meanwhile, back at the ship, Dario's immediate problem was how to feed himself. To save space and weight, no food was carried on the ship, but the greenhouse bulbs from the ship's earlier incarnation were still equipped to grow edible plants. This, however, required the proximity of a sun to provide the essential light and heat. In short, the greenhouse bulbs and the plant seeds were useless in deep space. Water was an equally pressing problem, as was the shortage of oxygen. The state of the ship did not make things any easier. The asteroid had ripped a huge gash into the side of the ship and destroyed many of the ship's vital systems. The cargo hold was hit especially hard. Debris of destroyed equipment and pieces of the asteroid cluttered this small space. Dario put his engineering skills to good use to solve these problems. He began by tampering with the fuel tanks. These fuel tanks, filled with liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen, served the propulsion system once the ship had to be slowed down once near the destination system. Altering the fuel tanks was extremely dangerous, as the ingredients were highly flammable, but with patience and caution, Dario managed to get a controlled reaction out of the fuel, which gave him both water and oxygen. Then he welded together every piece of glass and metal plate he could muster in the ship to gather and store what little light he could from distant stars. This was sufficient for him to start food production in one greenhouse bulb. By linking the bulb into the ship's septic tank, fertilizer for the plant was secured. The result was enough food for one man and later enough oxygen production as well. In other words, Daryu managed to create his own little ecological system. Once Daryu had stabilized the conditions on the ship and provided for himself, he next had to adjust the course of the ship. The impact had altered the ship's course, and in the vastness of space, it meant the ship would bypass the Operia system by billions of kilometers. The propulsion system had been damaged beyond repair. The ship was out of control and heading into deep space for eternity. The more time spent on a solution, the further adrift the ship would be, so a quick resolution was required. Instead of spending valuable time trying to build a new propulsion system, Daryu opted for a more ingenious solution. The ship was equipped with a token force of combat missiles. Daryu fired the missiles and turned them around to explode against the strongest parts of the ship's armor. By carefully calculating the impact points and controlling the size of the explosion, Daryu managed to correctly align the ship to its original course. Daryu briefly contemplated trying to turn the ship completely around, but quickly realized he had neither enough missiles for this, nor would the hull withstand such a brute force way of turning around even if he did have them. Now the dullest part of the journey began, as the ship was still decades away from the Operia system at its current speed. Daryu spent the time creating fantastic robots and designs using the scrap heap in the cargo hold. He discovered that the asteroid that hit the ship had been very rich with the super rare mineral Megasite, which has unique qualities that make it extremely valuable in advanced robotics and drone manufacturing. Having to live and work in zero gravity, year in and year out, gave Daryu a distinctive insight into high-tech assembly, and despite the limited resources and tools at his disposal, what he created during those long years has never since been surpassed in originality or brilliance. At long last, the ship entered the Operia system, 44 years behind schedule, due to the decreased speed caused by the impact and subsequent missile explosions. Over the years, Daryu had invented several techniques for slowing the ship down, just for this occasion. His main method was to use the stellar bodies in the system to help him slow the ship down. Even if the propulsion system itself was still out of order, Daryu managed to get some of the directional thrusters to work, feeding them with the last drops of fuel. Now he began to zigzag between the system's planets, using gravity to his advantage to slow the ship, and even going so far as to enter the atmosphere of a planet at one point, protecting the ship with a handcrafted shield. Through these unorthodox methods, Daryu managed to stop the ship from shooting out into deep space again. By this time, Daryu was an old man, his gaunt body in a bad state due to too much time in zero gravity. Yet his spirit was still strong, and he was unwilling to give up now that he'd managed to reach his destination. Satisfying though it was to be in the Operia system, his situation was still dire, as the prospects of any kind of rescue were absolutely none at all. His fate lay entirely in his own hands, and the only option was to try to construct the Stargate all by himself. All the equipment needed to construct the Stargate was long since destroyed or altered beyond recognition. Daryu was forced to start from scratch, devising and building innovative drones and robot factories. He centered his activity around a large asteroid that was conveniently close to the resonant point between the white main star and its tiny brown star companion. There, on that asteroid, Daryu constructed a home for himself as well as a small assembly factory, and for 5 years he labored along with his robot friends to complete, single-handedly, a Stargate, a feat that maybe a handful in the whole universe could pull off. Daryu performed at the age of 80, white-haired, wrinkled face, shaky hands and all. Imagine the surprise of the Stargate controllers in the Valor system when a patched-up construction ship limped through their Stargate, the triumphant remains of a mission long since considered dead and lost. Daryu reveled in the media limelight for a while before launching his own company, Creodron, centered on the blueprints created in an incredible voyage lasting almost half a century. He died a few years later, his frail body and failing internal organs too badly damaged for cloning. But his legacy remains strong to this day. Creodron is the biggest drone manufacturing company in the universe of New Eden, and the innovations of its founders still drive the drone industry. Renaming the Operia system Old Man Star was the least an appreciative universe could do. This concludes today's reading of Episode 50, Old Man Star. Thank you for listening. If you are interested in learning more about the rich history of the EVE universe, please visit the EVE Chronicle site at community.eveonline.com/background/POTW. Copyright information regarding the Chronicles in this podcast may be found at evereader.org/copyright.html. Nothing was harmed during the making of the show. It never undocked.